It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. Good afternoon. I'm Clay Masters, sitting in for Ben Kiefer today. By now, we've likely all seen that tape of Donald Trump bragging about sexually assaulting women. And now the New York Times reports two women say Trump groped them in separate incidents years ago. Well, the Trump campaign is denying these events took place. Also, new hacks from WikiLeaks show Hillary Clinton might seem like she's playing down the threat of terrorism and an internal dispute over potential conflicts of interest posed by the Clinton Foundation. WikiLeaks plans to release another batch of the 50,000 emails it claims it has every day between now and Election Day. And now the two people in Iowa who represent the presidential nominees' parties are with me. Andy McGuire, chairwoman of the Iowa Democratic Party, is here. Andy, hello.
Hi, how are you, Clay?
Doing well. And Jeff Kaufman, chairman of the Republican Party of Iowa. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Clay.
Now, we want to hear from you, too, as well. Email rivertoriver at iowapublicradio.org or tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also call us at 866-780-9100. Jeff, let's start with you. House Speaker Paul Ryan has said he will no longer defend Donald Trump, and he's told House members not to feel obligated to defend him on the campaign trail either. Why is it still good politics for Iowa's elected Republican leadership to continue to defend and support a nominee that so many are now just walking away from?
Well, and there are Republicans that are walking away from Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. We're certainly seeing at RPI many Democrats that had already walked away from Hillary Clinton. You know, nothing's really changed in terms of where Donald Trump's support has come from. It's been powered by the grassroots movement. It's not been powered by Washington. Obviously, it took Speaker Ryan quite a while to accept what Republicans had decided in terms of Donald Trump as our nominee. So we're going to have people that are going to Republicans that are going to walk away from this. That is certainly their prerogative. But in terms of the state party, we're a party that are powered by the grassroots. The grassroots are still very much behind Donald Trump. And Paul Ryan's opinion, as far as that goes, my opinion, is certainly inferior to what Republicans across the state are telling us.
So do you think he should have just stayed quiet on this and gone about his business and not weighed in on the election following that Sunday night debate?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that Speaker Ryan has plenty to do in terms of making sure that we maintain control of the House of Representatives. But, you know, I'm not going to tell Paul Ryan what to say as long as he doesn't tell me what to say.
Fair enough. We'll pivot here to Andy McGuire. Andy, when we look at Iowa, why is it really the holdout state in supporting Donald Trump? What does that say about the state of the Democratic Party in Iowa?
Well, you know, Clay, we've always been a toss-up state, and I think we absolutely still are. And I think that means we won't trade over to one side or the other very easily. And it's going to come down to every vote. And it's one of the reasons I think organization is so important in Iowa, because we make sure we get every vote out. And with these latest comments by Mr. Trump, and really my estimation that he's unfit to be president, we've had a lot of people calling our offices and coming out. So I think as we get every vote out, that will make the difference in Iowa. But it is a toss-up state, and that's why we have to work for every vote.
So do you think that says anything about the state of the Democratic Party in Iowa?
No, or the Republican Party. I think we're a state that just inherently has differences and is very bipartisan, if you want to say it that way. And so I think it really is who gets their people out that makes the difference here.
Now, the Democratic Party leadership frustrated a lot of progressives for seeming to put their foot on the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton instead of listening to the dissatisfaction with the party expressed through support for Senator Bernie Sanders and his more progressive agenda. Does what's happening in the Republican Party during this election give you any kind of pause?
Well, certainly we've tried very hard. We had a very historically close election, our caucus, and so we tried very hard to make sure that we've healed any of the wounds that happened with that. And I think what Hillary Clinton did when she did change some policies to be more like Bernie Sanders, that we really have tried to make sure all of our Democrats are comfortable with where we are. And I think when they look at the choice here between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, they are very much in the Democratic corner.
But millennials really aren't exactly flocking to Hillary Clinton. How do you explain that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was with Bill Clinton yesterday at Simpson College, and they were flocking, and they were very excited about the vision that he was saying about what Hillary Clinton's going to do with this country and how she's going to be a progressive candidate. So I'm not sure. We haven't had the election yet. I'm not sure they won't be enthusiastically in our corner by the end of this election.
So even if Democrats were to win at the top of the ticket nationally, which looking more likely according to the latest polls at this snapshot currently, Democrats aren't doing terribly well in down-ballot races. It doesn't look like Democratic challengers running in the Senate and congressional races are going to be able to unseat some incumbents, even vulnerable incumbents. Why do you think that is?
Well, I would also tell you polls are a snapshot in time, and
yeah,
we still
sure.
have 20-some days left until the end of this. So I'm not sure I would concede anything at this point, and with as volatile as this election is. But I tell you, Monica Vernon's working very hard, and I think she has a very good chance of being a congressman. So do I think Jim Maurer. And Kim Weaver is putting on a very good campaign against Steve King, who's been offensive at least. So I really wouldn't, and certainly Patty Judge has called out Senator Grassley on his not having a vote. So I'm not sure I would give up on any of them yet. I think they're doing a very good job, and we'll have to see what happens on November 8th. I think you might be surprised.
And those two incumbents that you mentioned were in the 1st and the 3rd District, Rod Blum, a freshman, also David Young in the 3rd District, which includes Des Moines and Council Bluffs. First District is up in the northeastern part of the state. Back to you, Jeff. The vice presidential nominee, Mike Pence, was in Iowa this week, told a supporter not to say there would be a revolution if Hillary Clinton was elected. What do you think of the continued talk by the nominee that seems to sow seeds of doubt about the election process?
Well, I mean, I think, just like as Andy just said, that we've got over 20 days left in the election. I don't hear anything publicly or privately with Donald Trump that he is conceding an election. And I think any kind of talk that, you know, some of his more zealous supporters may have about not accepting this election, I think would be tremendously premature. I know Donald Trump is down in the polls across the country. I think Iowa is a bright spot. I think Iowans understand that the Clintons have always had a public-private position. And how do you know when you're talking to Bill or Hillary, how do you know if that's what they really feel or if that's what their public persona is? And I think as more of these WikiLeaks begin to emerge and we hear more derogatory comments about Catholics and Latinos and Southerners, I think Iowans are, I do believe they're discerning. I do believe they differentiate between the presidential nominee, the other federal officials, state legislative races. And I think they're going to give each of these races an independent look. But certainly any talk about fairness of a process, the only process I'm in control of, Clay, directly, is the caucus process. And I am yet to hear any significant criticism from a credible source that our caucus process wasn't incredibly fair. Ted Cruz won, but Donald Trump was a close second. And my job as chair of the party is to carry through with the wishes of the ultimate Republican nominee, and that's exactly what I plan on doing the next 20 days.
So what do you say to Iowans who just might be concerned about the validity of this election if their candidate is not elected?
Well, you know, it's tough. I've been in electoral politics, and it's tough to when an individual loses that you put your heart and soul into it. I mean, our one thing about the Donald Trump candidacy, and this is why I believe as the state party chair, I need to promote Donald Trump. And the reason is, but not only do I think personally that Hillary Clinton would be an absolute disaster, but Donald Trump came from the grassroots. And so we have incredibly enthusiastic supporters. There was very little D.C., I can assure you, in Donald Trump's candidacy, and there was very little establishment. And I think you're looking at passion. I think you're looking at some supporters that, as we see the ebb and flow of this campaign, you know, first there's a video, then there's WikiLeaks, and then we're back again. I mean, this thing is like a roller coaster ride, and this has been a long, intense season. It's part of being first in the nation state, and I think some of the comments that you're hearing are comments of frustration and comments being on this roller coaster ride of politics. Because remember, we have a lot of our Trump supporters this is the first time they have engaged. And so this is a new process to them, and it's hard to look down the road a mile or so if you just hit the bump in the road as your car just passed through it. And it takes a couple of election cycles to get used to this. It's an emotional process.
There have been a lot of questions surrounding Trump's credentials as a Republican and a conservative. I mean, he's certainly not like a traditional Republican nominee, as you mentioned, which seems to reflect an even bigger fracturing of the GOP that began with the Tea Party movement. It seems to be longtime moderate Republicans who are moving away from Trump and indicating that they may be voting Libertarian or even for Hillary Clinton or not at all. Can you unite your party after the election, regardless of who comes out on top?
Oh, I believe so. And in fact, you know, we got some high profile people that have stated publicly that they are no longer going to support Trump. I've always questioned the actual attack of conscience that one has if they feel the need to have that internal conversation on social media. You know, when I make a heart-wrenching decision, the last thing I want to do is put it out there for hundreds or even thousands of people to see. So, you know, some of these pronouncements are more politically motivated, in my opinion, than they are attacks of conscience. But I really think that we wouldn't see the results that we're getting from absentee voting if we didn't have a united party. I mean, Clay, 2 days ago, we had almost 14,000 Republicans request an absentee ballot. That doesn't sound like a fractured party to me. We have our Republican federal officials, our leaders in the legislature, and as you indicated earlier in the show, right now at least, and believe me, what I'm going to say next is not an arrogant statement because things can change, but right now we're feeling very comfortable with where we're at. We wouldn't have Rod Blum up in the polls and Steve King up in the polls and David Young and it becoming more and more inevitable that we're going to take the majority in the state Senate if we weren't a united party. So I think we have to be careful of some high profile people with access to a large microphone pretending to speak for the grassroots, because believe me, you are right. Donald Trump has been an unconventional candidate, but the genesis of his candidacy came from the people to spite the establishment, as opposed in past when the establishment has pretty much drove this train. Believe me, the establishment isn't driving this train anymore. The people are.
Andy, Jeff, if anything, this election has demonstrated nothing else that there are deep divides in the country and mistrust of government to take care of people and present real solutions to their problems. Andy, I'm going to start with you on this question. How do we build back trust in our basic institutions?
Well, I think we have to have someone who can work with both sides of the aisle. And I think Hillary Clinton has shown when she was a senator that she could do that. I think that's something that hasn't happened as much of late. And she's actually proven in the past that she can work and talk to the other side and listen to the other side and try to figure out a solution that works for everyone. And I think when she talks about the economy and what she wants to do, I think she can get that done. And I think that's one of the things people are really frustrated with, is we haven't been able to get things done in our government. It's not working for us. And she has addressed that. And she has plans that she's going to work across the aisle to actually make happen. And, you know, when I talk to people around the state, they're talking about jobs. And they're talking about an economy that works for not just some people, but everybody. And her economic plan, and I think it was even addressed by Mark Zandi, who's a Republican consultant for John McCain, even said her economic policies, and she has plans and policies, her plans would increase jobs in Iowa by 100,000, whereas Donald Trump's would decrease it by 33,000. I mean, it's that kind of differences that are going to mean something to people. And I think, to your point, she's somebody who can actually reach across the aisle and pull that off, because she has done that in the Senate. People were surprised, but they saw her do that in the Senate, and I think she will do that as our leader.
Jeff, how do we build back trust in our basic institutions? We've heard Andy's answer there.
Well, I think the first thing you do is don't start the conversation by calling a third of the people deplorable and unredeemable. So that's a very, very odd way for a person that wants to unite the country by basically writing off the other side. This Donald Trump has been an unorthodox candidate. And I believe unorthodox and unique and, yes, bombastic is about the only way we're going to break the logjam in D.C. The way that the establishment has structured Congress and has structured the way that D.C. works makes it very, very difficult to work across that aisle. And I think Donald Trump, I mean, Can I give you a guarantee, Clay? Absolutely not. I don't think any of us can give a guarantee about any candidate. But I can assure you that Donald Trump is much more likely to change things up in D.C. and work across the aisle than somebody that's been in government and part of the problem for over 30 years.
Well, look, we're going to go to Nick now in Ames. I'm understanding from my producers here that, Nick, you seem a little disillusioned with both of the major party candidates. Nick, you're on River to River. Hello.
Hello, yes. Thank you very much for taking my call. First off, I will say I'm currently an independent voter. I fall underneath that, for better or worse, millennial category, and I'm leaning towards the Libertarian candidate. And just to focus on one small issue right now, when I look at the two candidates, I think of Donald Trump on November 28th has a legal proceeding with his Trump University. And then I equally, to the other side of the aisle, I look at Hillary Clinton, and I look at her, and I think that she should be and will very likely face perjury charges for her testimony, which was quite contradictory to what James Comey did. And so I think listening to how both sides would talk about if either side wins, there's going to be a legal proceeding, which I think is a major problem that sits before them. And how they handle that is something that I think is an issue. But if they can kind of answer both those questions, I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, and Nick, how long did it take you to come up with wanting to vote for Gary Johnson? Is he somebody that you've been paying attention to? How close are you to saying that, yes, that's who I'm going to cast my ballot for?
I've been saying that for a while now. I think when I look at Donald Trump, I don't see the experience or the realistic policy. And, I mean, you look at the second debate, it was structurally just name-calling. And then to the other side of the aisle, I look at Hillary Clinton, and my parents work in insurance. And when I see health care and I see the government is going to take over health care because premiums are jumping up from Blue Cross Blue Shield by 42%. Not everyone can afford $500 more. And we're talking about realistically the government is not bringing down health care costs because of this pre-existing condition law, much like Donald Trump promising that anyone with a pre-existing condition will be able to be covered. It's not reasonable. A business needs to make money to operate. When competing against the government, it doesn't. And so that's why I see the issue. I want to see a candidate actually push for less government.
All right, Nick in Ames, thanks so much. We're going to throw that one to Andy here first. Legal concerns about Hillary Clinton taking office and then being possibly prosecuted. How do you come up with those kind of concerns, Andy?
I really don't have those kind of concerns about Hillary. I know what he's talking about, but I don't think that there's any evidence that that's going to happen. And I guess what I would say to him is he talks about the issues. I would go back to issues that concern him. And millennials, lots of times it's the environment, which certainly there are plans by Hillary and her administration on how she would handle the environment. Certainly she thinks it's something we have to tackle, where it's a really stark difference from the other side, which thinks it's a hoax and doesn't exist. Or college affordability, if he's still in college or if he's got any college debt, there are plans to address that that will help him refinance if he's got loans, or help people who are now going to have a more college affordability. So I guess I would go back to the issues. You know, people talk about, they want to talk about the issues. Then let's go back to the issues and talk about those and talk about really how those would impact him and what that would do to make a better America for all of us.
And Jeff, how would you come at Nick's question?
Well, first thing I would say is, wow, if every voter was as articulate and as skeptical, and I mean that as a positive,
yeah,
as Nick, our democracy would be strengthened. And I mean that. And I realize that Andy and I are both vying for his vote right now, and maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. So, you know, first of all, I hope other millennials just heard what Nick said, because that's exactly what we need our young people to do. In terms of whether he votes for the Libertarian candidate, my pitch to Nick would be, and I think that's kind of what you're asking for, Clay, in terms of how Donald Trump or how the Republican chair would respond. First of all, I don't think we're going to respond to it with quick fixes that we know are unrealistic. You know, Hillary's free college plan. My hunch is that a discerning Nick realizes that's not the answer to the college portability. He's promising something that would absolutely break an already broken budget. But and in terms of the insurance companies, I hear what he's saying. Part of the problem is the establishment. It's business as usual. The insurance companies, for crying out loud, helped to write Obamacare. So what would Donald Trump offer? I think Donald Trump, first of all, is going to, he does not have political experience. Then again, either did Barack Obama or Dwight Eisenhower. And on the other hand, I would also say that Donald Trump does have business experience. And it's almost inarguable that he has had some success. At the same time, he's also had some times when business was tough. I think that experience is just as important. And in terms of what if Nick is going to vote for Gary Johnson, I'm assuming that he has a philosophy of government staying out of people's lives, of privacy concerns. I believe that if a review of Donald Trump's quotes in terms of the role of government in people's lives, I think Nick is going to be more comfortable. Now, maybe he wouldn't be as comfortable with Donald Trump as he would with Gary Johnson, but I would also argue that I don't think there's anyone that believes that Gary Johnson is going to be the next president. So if Gary Johnson is Nick's guy, then he's going to have to, if he really wants to choose who the next president's going to be, he's probably going to have to choose one of the two if he wants his vote to be heavily involved in that decision. And I would argue strongly that Donald Trump is going to come closer to what Nick wants than Hillary Clinton will. But I'm not going to promise him perfection, and I'm not going to promise him a perfect president, because I can't do that.
We got time for one more quick question here from a caller. We'll go to Chris in Des Moines. Chris, you got about 20 seconds here. What's your question?
Here in Iowa, thanks for taking my call, but here in Iowa, you know, they really haven't had any debates between the candidates so that the folks can see where the candidates stand and everything. And that should be something that they should want to do or should have to do so that the public can see where they stand and have true town hall meetings to where the public can really ask them questions and stuff.
Okay, Chris, so the two national debates apparently didn't do enough for you, but so I guess you're hoping for more interaction with the public then?
Well, I'm talking about as far as local, the candidates that are running local here in Iowa.
Oh, okay, we're talking down ballot. Okay.
And Clay, I think...
Yeah, and quickly, Andy, it looks like you're trying to jump in there. Andy, go ahead.
Well, I think he's exactly right. I mean, the more we hear the candidates and what their stands are on policies, the better. And Grassley has denied one debate. He's only doing one. Steve King will not debate Kim Weaver. We've had a problem with getting debates for Monica Vernon. So I really think that is something that people should debate so that all the people can hear their ideas on the policies and understand where they're really going to take this country, because it comes back to policies and plans. We can't just say we're going to do something. We have to actually have plans to carry them out, and I think that's something that Democrats really want to talk about, their plans for the future and how they're going to take this country and the state and their local areas forward.
And Jeff, real quick, in about 15 seconds, if you want to respond to that, go ahead.
Yeah, Chuck Grassley has already agreed to two debates. It's going to be on equal terms, not on Patty Judge's terms. And Chuck Grassley, you won't find a more accessible politician in the entire country than
okay.
he is with
and we're going to have to leave it at that. Jeff and Andy, thanks so much. It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio.